The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's the SNL Hall of Fame Podcast. With Chief Conversationalist Bill Kenny. Featuring Matt Ardill. And now, Curator of the Hall, JD.
All right. Thank you so much, Doug DeNatz. It is my pleasure to be here welcoming everyone to Season 7, the final season of the SNL Hall of Fame podcast, and one of the last times you'll hear me politely ask you to wipe your feet. The SNL Hall of Fame podcast is a weekly affair where each episode we take a deep dive into the career of a former cast member, host, musical guest, or writer, and add them to the ballot for your consideration. Once the nominees have been announced, we turn to you, the listener, to vote for the most deserving and help determine who will be enshrined for perpetuity in the hall. And that's how we play the game, folks. It's just that simple. Except this week, we won't be playing that game, because this is the premiere episode of Season 7. It's our draft episode, which always proves to be a popular one, both with our drafters and our listeners. So I will waste no more of your time with this preamble and introduce you to our Season 7 drafters. First of all, from the SNL Hall of Fame water cooler, I want to introduce Joe and Shari. Joe, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Excellent. Shari, how about yourself?
Very excited to be outside of the lunchroom and really in the hall, in the hallowed halls of the hall.
Well, people can't see this at home, but you each have your own very ornate lectern. So that's that's very classy of them to set you up with that. We've got another very special guest, and he is our chief conversationalist for Season 7, and that is Bill Kenny. Bill, how are you doing?
JD, I'm doing so great. Thanks for having me for this draft. I've got big shoes to fill with Thomas stepping down, but I'm excited and looking forward to the opportunity to talk to everybody about the Hall of Fame on a more regular basis. So happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, one thing we didn't do before we pressed record is flip our three-sided coin to find out who would be drafting in which order. So I think what we're going to do in lieu of flipping that coin is we'll just go in alphabetical order. So it will go Bill, Joe, then Shari, and it won't be a snake draft. It'll come back to Bill after that. Their only parameters that we gave them were they have to nominate one musical guest or writer. And then from there, they have four wild cards, and they can use those wild cards for any category, including giving a second chance to somebody who has slipped off the ballot at this point. So there's that. Why not get right to it? Mr. Kenny, who have you got at number one?
Well, I have to go with one of the people who's kind of fallen off the map because of outside of SNL things over the last decade or so, but very important to the history of the show. I'm going to go with Dennis Miller. He is part of my origin story, but that's not the reason why I would nominate him. When he came onto the show, like being able to do Weekend Update, when Weekend Update was in shambles, they had so many people come in and out that door. They had hosts do it for a while during season 10. So to put a balance back into it and make it good really for the first time since the original era was very important to the show. And his snarkiness and his take on things was very good. He stayed the longest up to that point on Weekend Update. So I'm going with Dennis.
I think that's a great pick. He also is a big part of my origin story. He was probably one of the first comedians that I just thought was dripping with cool. You know, there was just something about him. Something about him. Joe, what do you think of Bill's first pick, Dennis Miller?
I agree with everything he said. For one, he kind of made Update, he solidified Update. Like, Update could have came and went, you know, like he said, it was hosts, and then it was just kind of up in the air. And then when Lorne Michaels came back, they could have reformatted the show a little bit and kind of gotten rid of Update. But because Miller is so good at that, it just was like, okay, I'm just going to do Update and forget about the rest of the show. He wasn't really a cast member. He didn't really do impersonations or characters. He was just like, you know what? I'm just going to stay here behind the desk. And the reason I bring that up is that's kind of been a choice for cast members to do, since then. If you kind of look at Seth Meyers and then now Colin and Che, and Colin Quinn, you know, it's kind of like, well, if you can't do characters or impersonations, do you want to try and do Update? And that's something like Dennis Miller kind of started. So that is a very good pick. And I agree. He's just one of those people that is so comfortable being himself.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. What about you, Shari? What do you think of Bill's pick?
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I would expect nothing less from Mr. Kinney. Yeah, Dennis is hilarious. And I love hearing him getting ripped on all the time on the Fly in the Wall podcast,
yes,
where they're constantly imitating him. Yeah. Great, great, great pick, Bill. Very
good. All right. Let's go back to the board. Joe, you're on the clock.
Okay, well then, I'm going to go with the OG Update host and go with Chevy Chase. He helped put the show together. You know, he was there before the first episode, and he helped put the show together with Lorne. And then he did Update, you know, and they kind of similar to Dennis Miller. He, you know, would start Update by saying that cool phrase, I'm Chevy Chase and you're not. You know, so that's kind of like saying, hey, this is who I am. I'm going to be myself, you know, for this.
For better or for worse.
For Update. Yeah, for better or for worse. There's stories across multiple shows and multiple movies about Chevy Chase. I'm not going to get into that. I'm a fan of the TV show Community. That's all I'll say. But aside from that, no, he helped put the show together. And then here's another trend he unintentionally started, which is, you know, he left after season one. So he kind of started this thing of where cast members could leave and have another cast member join in, and then they could leave and so forth and have the rotating cast. So he kind of unintentionally started that trend. He had characters. But in his impersonations, that wasn't the style at the time. The show hadn't found its format. So his Gerald Ford wasn't exactly up to par with, like, let's say, Dana Carvey's Bush Sr., you know, like, without the prosthetics and everything. It was just more, you know, of a cast member just saying, hey, I'm Gerald Ford and I'm going to do jokes. But then we have to hit the falls. The falls, I love seeing every year. Aside from Christmas Vacation, I have to see Chevy Chase do falling on that Christmas tree. It's a thing. And then that's the thing is like him doing that Gerald Ford, just being off, you know. So, that's just, you know, Chevy Chase.
Great pick.
He was there at the beginning.
Great pick, Joe. Shari, what do you think of his pick? What do you think of Chevy Chase? Well, I shouldn't say, what do you think of Chevy Chase? I should say, what do you think of his pick? We definitely want to keep those things separate.
Yes.
Shari, where are you at?
I don't know. I'm probably going to get some backlash. I don't know. Maybe not. But I've never been a Chevy Chase fan. I just don't think he's that funny. I know he's really important to the beginnings of the show, but I don't get him with the falling. I don't know. He's just never been a favorite of mine. I still believe that he deserves a chance to get in the Hall of Fame because he's so important to the story of the first 5 years of the show. Right. So I have to give it to him there, but definitely not one that I would have had on my list. But this is all subjective, so there you go.
It's fair.
Bill.
Yeah, I think he's too important not to include. It comes up so much with different hosts and cast members and musical guests. You have to separate the art from the artist. And I think Chevy is the quintessential example of that. He obviously, when he comes back to host so many times, there's a lot of terrible stories, as Joe kind of references.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much that's really, really bad. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, as a cast member, he's so important to not only update, he's writing so much with O'Donohue and Lorne. They basically, the three of them, I mean, there's a lot of other writers, obviously, but they're carrying the heavy load that first season. So he sets the precedent, as Joe says, for leaving the show. He sets the precedent for coming back to host the show. His Weekend Update is fantastic. There's very few other people that you could put up. I mean, he's Mount Rushmore as far as Weekend Update, even 50 years into the show. So, yeah, has to be on the ballot for sure.
Great. Well, Shari, I'm interested in hearing your first pick. Shari?
Okay, so I have to nominate this gentleman because he's a hometown boy, for one thing. He's from the state of Michigan, and he still lives here as far as I know. And he is just the consummate, you know, assistant, but he's always there when you need him. And I'm talking, of course, about Mr. Leon Phelps, the ladies' man, also Dr. Poop, the fabulous Tim Meadows, one of my favorites. And I definitely think he deserves it. I'm surprised it took him this long. I think people forget about him, and I am happy to bring him back to everybody's forefront of everybody's mind.
Remember when there was actually like competition for like who had been on the show the longest, and you know, he was battling it out with like Phil Hartman, you know, now it's like comical to think that somebody's been on for like half the run. But Tim Meadows, Bill, what do you think of Tim Meadows?
My first note is somehow forgotten. So Shari brings that up. Like, I think, and we've seen this with Sherry O'Terry and others like that, who just kind of fall off the map as far as SNL, that they don't come back to the show. Tim hasn't really come back that much, but he has one of the most interesting trajectories in the history of the show. His first 4 years or so are just not that great. He's not given a lot of roles. And to see what he was able to do on the back half, the back nine of his SNL career, was nothing short of miraculous. Like, he really stepped up. He did his OJ, obviously, and then Ladies' Man and things like that. So, definitely deserving.
Joe, where are you on Tim Meadows as a Hall of Fame pick?
I 100% agree. I'm originally from Chicago, and he's a Second City alum, so I just have to give a shout out to that. And he is kind of like one of those people that I guess is the definition of rose up in the ranks, where he started in that Chris Rock, David Spade, Chris Farley era. And then once they went away, then he kind of got his turn to shine. And he was like kind of multi-generational in that sense, where he was a part of that, Sandler, Spade era, and then he was also a part of the Sherry O'Terry, Will Ferrell era, And then he also had his own Saturday Night Live movie. So he meets, like, now, given it's not one of the best Saturday Night Live movies, but he still had one. But nevertheless, he checked off a lot of boxes. And, you know, he had a character, he had impersonations. And, yeah, and he shows up in the anniversary shows. So, yeah, he definitely deserves to be at least nominated. So I 100% agree with it.
All right. So far, three cast members. Interesting. So wild cards have been utilized. Bill, we're back to the top.
I'm going to go with a host that we have not seen in almost 12 years. And he was so great. He brings his own energy to hosting the show. And would love to see him back. Zach Galifianakis. When he comes into the show, it's really just, it's the Zach show. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But he has such a specific energy to him and kind of his character that he's playing throughout different things during his Hangover era. So I was such a great time when he was on the show. It's one of the few times in modern times that they do runners when he drops by the set and things like that. So, yeah, I love Zach, and I think we all kind of hoped he would be playing J.D. Vance. He didn't get that, but maybe he'll host.
Yeah, that would be fun. He's a great host. I think back to that one monologue with him on the piano, and just some great laughs. Shari, as far as the hosting category goes, does Zach Galifianakis hold muster for you?
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. He's so funny. I love that runner one that he did where he's hosting the TV show. I've just watched it so many times on The Vault on Roku. It's so, so funny. I can watch it over and over again where they like cut things in and take things out. It's just so silly. And we were talking about technology in the water cooler recently, and what a great example of the way technology has changed and how editing changes things. So, yeah, I love Zach. He is an absolute hoot and a terrific host.
Yeah. Joe, how about you, sir?
So, yeah, I totally agree with what Bill said. When he hosts, it's the Zach show, and it works. You know, because once you get in that monologue and you see, okay, this is the type of humor it is, and then it carries over from sketch to sketch, it worked. I mean, and on top of that, to be fair, you either like Zach or you don't. And if you do, you'll love this episode. My personal favorite monologue was the Annie one. And I do hope he does come back. He's on Only Murders in the Building right now. So he is kind of, you know, being, you know, brought back a little bit. If he's a part of another movie, yeah, I could totally see him hosting. And if he hosts, I'm totally excited. Yeah, I think it's a great pick.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. Joe, we're going to stick with you, and we're going to get your second pick.
So, yes, my second pick is, and I'm just going down the list, is probably my favorite pick. I got one reason for every one that I chose, but for this guy, I have, like, multiple. And it's kind of the thing that I used to audition to get on the water cooler show in the first place. And anyway, it's Jimmy Fallon. And just real quick, and trust me, and I mean real quick for me, he does three things that a SNL cast member needs to do on a show. He doesn't, now here's the thing, you don't need to do all three, you just need to do at least two of these three things to be a good cast member, and that's impersonations, cast member, and host weekend update. And he does all three. You know, he does the Boston Teens, and Nick Burns, those are great characters. He has impersonations with Barry Gibb and John Travolta. And then he hosted Weekend Update. So he's kind of like in every part of the show. So, and then he came back and hosted multiple times. So he's, you know, a jack of all trades where he could do everything.
Really is.
And then he, you know, he could sing. So theoretically, he could be a musical guest. If that, you know, I severely doubt it, but I'm just saying that's the only thing he hasn't done, but he could. So
we need to have some sort of Hall of Fame EGOT award where you know, somebody who's been in all four categories at some point. That would be interesting research to do. Shari, what do you think of Jimmy Fallon?
Okay, I feel like I'm going to be the grouch of this group. I do not really care for Jimmy Fallon. I know, blasphemy. He bothers me. I don't know why. I find him irritating. It's funny, I don't mind him as a host on The Tonight Show, but on SNL, I always thought like he was trying really hard to be Sandler, and he wasn't to me. He was trying really hard, and with his songs, which I'm sorry, he'll never be Adam. Sorry, my opinion. So yeah, I mean, he definitely deserves to be nominated because he was on the show a long time, and he's very beloved.
Yeah.
He's just not beloved by me as a cast member. But again, subjective.
That's absolutely fair. Bill, you're gonna have to tilt the scales here one way or the other. Where do you tilt?
Well, Shari, I'm on your side on this. They like to tease me on the SNN that my hatred for Jimmy Fallon, which is overblown. I don't hate him. I just think he's a little bit overrated. Obviously, his breaking in sketches is very well known, but that's not even really the main part. I think his early tenure is very good, even though he is trying to be like Sandler. And he does some great impressions. I really do enjoy like his Barry Gibb. I like his Mick Jagger, even his Dennis Miller, who we just talked about. So he deserves consideration, but he would not be on my ballot just because I don't think he makes the cut as far as I don't think his Weekend Update tenure is that great either. So just not on my ballot. So I guess I'm a grouch too.
We got the double grouch action going on here. Will the voters agree with Joe, or will they align with Shari and Bill? We will have to wait and see. Shari, we're coming back to you now. What have you got for us?
Speaking of grouches, this is kind of one of the most famous grouches, I think, in Hollywood. I'm speaking, of course, about the fabulously hilarious Mr. Larry David. I don't even like Curb or Seinfeld. Again, grouch with an unpopular opinion. I'm not a fan of either. I haven't seen much of Curb, so I guess that's sort of unfair, but I do just think Larry is a great host. I think his Bernie Sanders is possibly my favorite political impression of all time because it is so freaking spot on. And that feel the burn with the cough shake is just classic. And I just think he meshes well with every cast. Everybody seems to like him. And of course, there's the story that he left and said he was never coming back. And he came back the next day like nothing happened back when he was going to be a writer. So even though all of that happened, they still had him back as a host, which goes to show you, because usually if you bite the hand, you don't get to come back for a long time. And Larry managed to come back pretty quick. And I just think every time he's makes a cameo as a host, he is fabulous, and I hope we see him this season at the very least on the anniversary special.
Definitely seems as though he's a friend of the show, so very likely we'll see him, but you know, stay tuned, right? Bill, what do you think about Mr. Larry David in the host category?
Yeah, and I think this is a great pick. Seinfeld and Curb are two of my other favorite shows, so I love that he came back. And his story is one of the most interesting in the history of the show. That the firing, which is a great Seinfeld episode, Shari, I don't know if you've seen that, but they did make that into an episode of him getting fired and then coming back to work on Monday. So, yeah, his two hosting gigs are very, very good. It was all on that wave of the Bernie train, and but there's so many other good things in there, like the FBI simulator and Totino's and things like that. I would love to see him back as well. He had a big role in the 40th special, so I would think that we'll see him at the 50th. But yeah, he's definitely deserving to be on here.
Oh, I cannot wait for February. Cannot wait. Joe, Larry David, go.
Yes. He has great SNL stories. I agree with what everyone said. And then there's another one that kind of ties into Seinfeld where it was about a chair for the elevator operator that was a Larry David sketch that became Seinfeld episode. And yeah, he is. So the fact that he has those stories from the Ebersol era, came back to host, during the Bernie Sanders. So yeah, he is in the SNL. He wouldn't be my pick, but he is in that SNL history. So I could totally agree with the reasoning.
Yeah. You can draw the line for sure. The thing that might hurt him going in is, you know, only two appearances at this point. There's lots of guest appearances, but, you know, I don't know how much the voters separate that kind of stuff or compartmentalize it, but ideally you would compartmentalize it and look just at his hosting duties. Bill, we're back to you with your third pick. My goodness.
Yeah. So, I can't believe she's still here for me in round three. All-time GOAT of SNL cast members, just left a couple seasons ago. 11 seasons on the show, and so many great impressions, so many great characters like Kathy Ann and the girl you don't want to have a conversation with at the party. Of course, I'm talking about Cecily Strong, one of the all-time best.
For sure. I miss her. Like, I know Kate wore the big, big, big shoes, but I miss Cecily much more than I miss Kate at this point. Shari, where are you with Ms. Strong?
100% agree. The only reason I didn't put her on my list is I feel like she's still a little too current. But like Bill said, 11 years, that is amazing. And her time on the update desk was very memorable, even though it wasn't very long. And her singing voice. So yes, I definitely think, since this is our last season, for sure, she needs to be nominated and hopefully in the hall.
I think she's first ballot.
Great pick. I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Kate didn't get in on the first ballot, which is just bananas to me. But whatever. Joe, is it bananas to you? Cecily Strong being a Hall of Famer?
I mean, yes. I'm going to say she deserves to be. Yeah, she deserves to be in there. People might not remember her on Update, but as we were saying, with Fallon, you know, she did, you know, she's one of those people that is a jack of all trades, you know. I'm trying to think off the top of my head the impersonations she did, but she definitely did characters. She did Update. She was on 11 years. She, you know, multi-generational or cast member wise. And yeah, I mean, I have nothing but positive things to say about her. So not a grouch.
Well, Joe, we'll stick with you and see if you remain not a grouch as you reveal your third pick.
Okay. This is one I was looking at the list and I was looking at everyone I could possibly choose. And I just felt like I just had to go with my gut on this one and I just couldn't deny it. Even though I don't think he'll get in, I just couldn't deny my gut. Anyway, it's Josh Brolin. And I know it's not popular. But the reasons for this is he seems to have fun with the show. When he comes to host, it seems like it's a week off for him and he's on vacation and he's doing what with the last time he hosted, he did this monologue where he stripped down to his underwear and got into a tub of ice water. And then another one that I'll just zip through real fast is the fart face story, where, yeah, real fast. I'll condense this as much as I possibly can. So I guess there was a sketch where it was fart face, and it's three lawyers or some three businessmen, and they're all calling each other fart face. That's the sketch. And people loved it at, you know, read through and at rehearsal. And then when they did it at dress rehearsal, it bombed. I mean, just totally crickets. So, but everyone had faith in it. They thought, okay, maybe it just didn't do well at dress rehearsal. So they kept it for the live show. And I think they put it after either a musical guest or another sketch that did well. So it was Brolin, Will Forte, and I want to say the TV show Barry. And you would think Bill I would Hader. Know if I'm talking real fast.
Bill Hader.
No, Hader. Bill Hader.
Hader.
I know. I forget. It's one of the best cast members of all time. I'm just talking really fast. Anyways, Bill Hader, Will Forte, and Josh Brolin. And they go out there, they're on the set of Fartface, and it's about 10 seconds or about 30 seconds before they're about to go on. And Josh Brolin's looking around at all of the audience, and they're smiling and they're still buzzing from the either musical act or whatever. And he just looks around and says, "All right, let's shut these guys up." like the captain about to go down with the ship, you know, like, let's do this, you know, like he has no fear about bombing. And that to me is like a brave host that's just absolutely. Like he has faith in the sketch, you know, and is willing to take the hit, you know, along with the other cast members. So he just, and plus he's on a good run. He's hosted a couple of times. I want to say what, two or three?
Three times.
Three.
Yeah. So, you know, he just, and he's very in a current era. So,
yeah.
I know it's not, might not be a popular long time pick, but yeah, I just had to go with my gut.
Hey, listen, there's a lot of hosts that come aboard and we hear the words their game. And I think that gets said probably a little too often. But Brolin to me is game. Like he seems like he is game. Like he will let them write him into ridiculous things, and he's not necessarily a ridiculous actor. You know, he is a pretty straight actor. So it's almost like Driver to a certain degree we're seeing with Brolin. Bill, where are you?
Yeah, I think we talked about him on the host countdown we did this summer on the SNN. He did sneak into the top 50 because I think this last season in 49 kind of put him over the top. So I think he can be considered for sure. He, you know, he hadn't been back to the show in almost 12 years. So having him come back so recently, and it was one of the better episodes of 49.
Yeah.
The Shrimp Tower is one of the best sketches of 49, and he's a big part of that. So yeah, I'm not upset about this pick at all. I really like him a lot. Maybe if he got a fourth, I would say, you know, boom stamp going in, but he's definitely in consideration.
Nice. Shari. Is he in a consideration for you, or are we revisiting the Grouch?
The Grouch is coming back a tiny bit.
Okay.
I like Josh. I do. I love the Goonies with a passion when he was a much younger actor. I love Shrimp Tower, but that episode, I was like in the minority of the big SNL fans. Like, I was watching the SNN and Bill was raving about it. John was raving about it. And I was like, what is my problem?
Oh,
my husband and I both just did not care for it. However, I do think that he could go the distance with a fourth hosting stint. And I certainly think he deserves consideration because he is so willing to do just about anything.
Yeah, seems that way. Shari, we're going to stick with you. And we're going to get your third pick.
All right. Okay. Speaking of grouchy people, again, I seem to be attracted to grouchy people. This is also a hometown boy who I often refer to jokingly as my fiance because I've loved him for as long as he's been famous. And that is, of course, and he's a musical guest, and I know they don't do well, and I know he's probably not going to get a huge amount of the vote. But when I saw him on the ballot, I was like, okay, I have to be a true fangirl and nominate Marshall Mathers, Eminem, because I love him. And I think he's amazing every time he's on the stage at 8H. I also think that he is willing to be made fun of. And, you know, he's one of the few rappers that like doesn't mind being made fun of. And I give him a lot of credit for that. I don't think he's going to go the distance, but I had to.
Joe, you were jumping in there. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's Eminem. He's been around for, 20, 25 years. And a thing that, and I'm going to reference this in real soon, but I like musical guests that interact with the other parts of the show. And he has. He was in Andy Samberg's last video. And yeah, he doesn't seem to be, you, as much as he has this intense personality, like Shari said, he does not mind being made fun of. So yeah, and he's fun. So yeah, I like it. I probably wouldn't choose it, but I agree with everything she said.
Mr. Kenny.
Yeah, he would have probably been my musical pick. I love Eminem. And he's been on the show so many times. And really, my own only requirement for a superstar musical guest coming on the show is to play the hits.
Yes.
And he does. He does so many of his hits. He does Stan and Real Slim Shady and Just Lose It and Love the Way You Lie. So every time he comes back, he's done. Now, he hasn't been on the show in 7 years, which wow. I don't know if that'll hurt him or not, but he has been on the show 7 times. So, yeah, I love this pick. I hope he gets some votes.
Well, we're going to keep it with you, Bill, and we're going to move into the fourth round. But before we do that, I just want to reset and go through everybody who's been picked so far. That is, in the first round, we heard Dennis Miller, Chevy Chase, and Tim Meadows. In the second round, Bill picked Zach Galifianakis, Joe picked Jimmy Fallon, and Shari picked Larry David. And then in the third round, we got Cecily Strong, the first female on the list, Josh Brolin, and Eminem as a musical guest. So we've got some hosts. We've got some musical guests. We have yet to see a writer. I don't know if we will. Bill, your fourth pick. Do we see a writer?
Spoiler alert, we do.
Oh.
I'm going with two of the most important people in the second golden era of SNL. They went on to do, if there's anything you like from the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, they were probably a part of it. I'm going with Bonnie and Terry Turner here. So, you know, they were a big part of Church Chat, Wayne's World, the Carson Tonight Show, Pat Stevens. So, obviously they've gone into so many other things, like Third Rock and That 70s Show. But, yeah, they're just a huge, huge part of the show. And my girl Jan was a big part of them with when she was on Tush in the early 80s. So they're a big part of the narrative in that not only the second golden era of the show, but the golden era of writers with all those other people that were there, like Conan and Odenkirk and things like that. So Bonnie and Terry Turner for me.
Wild. I love it. Now, twosomes or groups have not fared so well. It took Lonely Island 3 seasons to get in for some bizarre reason. It took Franken and Davis right till the bitter end, and they squeaked in last year. So we'll see, Bonnie and Terry Turner. It's going to be interesting. Joe, did you enjoy their work?
Well, they were one of my choices. So yes, they were writer, you know, the show in that great second golden era. You know, again, like you said, with Odenkirk and Conan and Smigel, and, you know, they're on that list of, you know, and another thing to point out is they wrote the Wayne's World movies and the Conehead movie. So it's not only did they write the show, but they wrote Saturday Night Live movies. Like, that's how good they were. And Tommy Boy, if that, whatever, just putting it out there. So they wrote for Farley and Spade in a non-Saturday Night Live movie,
oh. But
just saying. So, yeah, they were, like, in that Saturday Night Live history in the second golden era on many different, on multiple formats, or two formats. But, yeah, they were also my pick. So,
Shari, I'm curious, were they your pick, too?
That's so funny, because I totally wanted to put them, but I knew ahead of time, I knew Joe was a fan. I didn't realize Bill was also a huge fan. I guess I'm not surprised. They're such innovators. And we didn't even talk about that 70s show and that 90s show. I mean, they're still writing. So yeah, awesome pick, Bill. I definitely, they would have been on my list if it wasn't for the fact that I thought Joe was going to want them and I didn't want to steal them. I didn't want to steal them away, but you didn't know that, Bill, so.
Joe, who is your fourth pick?
Okay. So, as I said, I was going to reference this. It's one of my favorite. I always bring this up when I talk about in the Water Cooler show regarding U2 and as people that musical guests that interact with the actual show. And one of the people I usually reference in regards to that is my pick, Aerosmith. They're a great band. I don't think, I'm not even going to touch and talk about how great of a band they are. They get a grip and, you know, that album speaks for itself. Moving on. But they, in, you know, they acted in multiple sketches like Wayne's World, Mary Catherine Gallagher. I want to say, I'm trying to think of the actual name, but it's Pete's Video. It's this David Spade sketch where it was a guy that worked at a video store. And I know it was a Jeff Goldblum show. And but yeah, I just like it when. Oh, and then there was another We Are the World type sketch where the chickens, and they were in that. And I just like art when the musical guest is, you know, makes cameos in the body of the show. And so yeah, when I was looking through and I was like, what musical guest should I pick? Boom, Aerosmith is there. Moving on. You know, I'm like, so yeah, Aerosmith is my fourth pick.
I like it. It's in line with, you know, the stuff that you talk about every week with you too. So yeah, for sure. Shari, in terms of Aerosmith, you and I have stumped many times for musical guests. It doesn't seem to go anywhere though. Do you think that Aerosmith can push the needle?
Probably not, but maybe more so than other musical acts. I think Aerosmith is pretty beloved by mine and Bill's and JD's, because we're all Gen Xers.
Yeah.
And Aerosmith is so intrinsic to the Gen X world.
Yeah.
And come on, that Wayne's World sketch, sibilance, oh my God. One of my favorite sketches of all time. And Steven Tyler is just such a ham bone on that. I love it, love it. Yeah, for sure. Definitely deserving, and would love to see them get in.
You know, they were popular in the 70s, they were popular in the 80s, they were popular in the 90s. They continued to be popular as they finished their tour last year. They have accolades coming out the yin-yang, but will they have a place on their mantle for an SNL Hall of Fame plaque?
I would hope so. I think they have an interesting history with the show. And I can remember that season 15 episode being such a big deal. I mean, they had made their comeback after being off the charts for about 6 or 7 years. But they never were a musical guest in the original era, which was bananas. Like, they were so big in the 70s.
Right.
For them not to come on the show at all. So for them to finally get on and during their resurgence of the late 80s, and play some great songs like Janie's Got a Gun and Crying and Sweet Emotion. Yeah, they're up there for me as well, and happy to see them make the ballot.
So far, it's a really interesting ballot, gang. I'm looking forward to building a schedule out of this. This is going to be a lot of fun. Shari, are you going to add to the fun?
I think so. I'm going with a writer. I think writers are so important. And this writer is an amazing woman, one of the first to write for SNL. And of course, I'm talking about Ann Beatts. She is in the new movie that I have not yet seen and really, really want to. She's so important. She's intrinsic to almost everyone who's come after her on SNL. I know that Tina Fey has talked about her. I'm sure that Paula Pella has talked about her. She is so, so intrinsic to the first couple of years and really brought funny to the female front. She really brought female issues and things more to the forefront. And I have to give her bonus points. Again, Gen Xer. Frickin' Square Pegs, man. Nobody remembers it, but I do. And
I do.
It's one of my all-time favorite shows, and she was a genius and definitely deserves to be in the Hall.
Hell yeah.
Along with so many others that don't always make it because writers don't always get in. But yeah, Ann Beats, amazing.
It certainly doesn't. I want to hear from Bill about Ann Beats.
Yeah, this is a great pick. I think it's hard to put yourself in the mindset of mid-70s. You know, not only were the female cast members not getting enough work most of the time, other than Gilda, but the female writers were underutilized. And her and Rosie and Marilyn Suzanne Miller just beat at that door until they could get stuff on. Hard Hats is such an important part of the history of the show. You know, kind of twisting the male female energy, and that's part of the movie that Shari references. It's not a spoiler; it's in the trailers. But even though it's not in the first episode, they felt the need to put it in there because it is so important. So yeah, she's a big part of the show. A lot of those great original era sketches were written by her. So happy to see her.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. I really liked her portrayal in that National Lampoon movie with Will Forte, which I cannot remember the name of right now.
It's oh, Futile Gesture. I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, go ahead. What do you have to say about Ann Beats?
So, for one, I agree with what everyone else was saying. But I want to bring up that Futile Gesture movie. Again, Will Forte is very SNL adjacent. It is a great companion piece to the current Saturday Night movie. I really wish they kind of would do a Saturday Night movie like a biopic for the National Lampoon, because there's so many people in that group, including Ann Beats. And yeah, she is just like Chevy Chase, she's a part of that original era, because I guess SNL was a boys club back then. The fact that she's rememberable says something, that, you know, like, it was dominated by Belushi and Aykroyd and Murray, but the fact that she is able to be rememberable for, like you said, Hard Hats, that is a classic sketch, and I still feel like it's even something you could do today. Yeah, she absolutely, definitely, at the minimum, deserves to be nominated, if not, you know, be in the Hall of Fame.
Well put. This brings us to the final round. We have three names left to reveal. What I want you to do right now is all shout them out concurrently. No, I'm joking. Bill, we want to hear your pick. What have you got for us?
I'm going to go with another three-time host, another person that we would be so thrilled to see come back after a long delay. Jack Black hosted three fantastic episodes in the early millennium, if we can call it that, including an all-time classic episode in season 31, which included Lazy Sunday and Christmas Time for the Jews, along with all of Jack's work. So, I mean, he's such an important part of the history of movies in the last 20 to 25 years, and he was such a great host. Why he hasn't come back, you know, is beyond me, but I would love to see him come back and would love to see him make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because he didn't come back even for, like, Jumanji, did he?
No.
No.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Interesting. Joe? What do you think about Mr. Black? I'm a huge fan.
Okay. Now, for one, let me do a little bit of a pro-con here. I'll just do a pro first. I remember on Dan Harmon's podcast, Harmontown, Jason Sudeikis said that time Jack Black hosted the Christmas episode, when around the time of King Kong, that's when that cast came together. So if you watch that episode of SNL with Jack Black, that's when, like, Jason Sudeikis and Kristen Wiig and everyone, because they do two a-holes buying a Christmas tree, and Jack Black's monologue where he's saying a theme song to King Kong. It is a great episode. So I agree with the whole thing. And, you know, the fact that he could write his own monologue with a song and all that and such. Now, here's my con. Since then, or most recently, he's just kind of been where he kind of looks like, just his image. I'm not sure. And I know this isn't really SNL related, but this kind of could hurt his voting, which is recently he fired or broke up with Kyle Gass. He's been doing animated movies, which are fine. The movies are fine. But then he showed up in the trailer for Minecraft where he just looks like himself. Like, there's a meme that says it looks like Jack Black in a blue t-shirt. So, yeah, his image right now isn't exactly that positive. Now, for me, I like the guy just fine, but I'm not sure if people will vote for him because right now he's just kind of going through this dark time in his career. So I'm just kind of on the fence with it. I like that episode, but I don't like his image right now. So that's what I think.
That is like a Murderer's Row episode, though. Like, for real. It just, it's like, wow, it should save some for the rest of us, you know? For the rest of, that's what the other episodes are saying. Shari, are you as excited about Jack Black as I am?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I didn't realize he was, I'd heard a little bit of scuttlebutt about him, but as we're talking about separating the art from the artist, I do think he's very, very funny. And every episode he hosts, he's hilarious. And he's got that musical piece. So yeah, I just want to see him come back. I hope he comes at least to the anniversary special. That's what we keep using as our default. Hopefully at the anniversary. So we'll see if he shows up there, but for sure, I definitely think he deserves consideration for the Hall, for sure.
Oh, wouldn't it be cool if he showed up and did something? He could do something Farley-esque, I suppose, right? That would be pretty cool. Joe, you've got a pick. What sayeth you, Joseph?
I'm going to go back, look at the list, because Bill chose Bonnie Cherry Turner, so I had to go back, and I saw a name that I was like, boom. Again, just like Aerosmith. I was like, oh, absolutely. I can't believe I must have skipped over his name, assuming he was already in. And that's Kevin Nealon. And he was a part of that second golden era. And he does the same thing that I said with Fallon. He hits all three of those roles, which is he did impersonations, Sam Donaldson, and then he did characters, Franz, and he hosted Update. So, but the only thing is, it's kind of that thing that we bring up with O'Terry, which is he came, he did, and he left. And I know he did a cameo once where he showed up on Update, and the joke was he was reminding people that he wasn't on the show anymore, and people thought he was because they saw him on reruns on Comedy Central. And he has shown up at the anniversaries, and he brings up Saturday Night Live all the time, and he's friends with Miller and Carvey and such like that. But it would be, and I know there wasn't a reason for him to host. He didn't really have a, movie or a sitcom per se. So, the fact that he hasn't hosted, I don't think that's a negative for him. He just hasn't had a reason. But yeah, he shows up on the anniversary shows and yeah, he's a part of the history. He was on Update for a long time between Miller and Norm MacDonald. So. Yeah, when I saw his name, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, absolutely, he should be in there.
Pick part of that tight cast, all of them got so much work in. We got to see them week in, week out, and really got to know these people. I think in a way, like their chops. Shari, what do you think about Kevin Nealon?
I think Nealon is a great, great, great choice. He was on my list in case any of mine got snuck up. But that hasn't happened yet. Nealon is just the classic dry wit, that Mr. Subliminal, just the way he could just squeeze in those punchlines. And I love it whenever he shows up on Fly in the Wall. He's been on, and I'm sure he'll be on Superfly because they are really good buddies.
Yeah.
And he's just got such a dry wit, and it's really a nice counterpoint to a lot of the silliness that goes on SNL. So I definitely think he 100% deserves to be in the Hall.
Are we going 4 for 4 here, Bill?
Yes, definitely. He had the record for most seasons until Timmy Meadows with 9 seasons and had great impressions, as everybody's already said. He had an underrated Jay Leno. Piece of history, they weren't very good impressions, but he did the first Al Gore on the show, and he did the first Joe Biden, of which we are now in double digits with mm-hmm. his buddy Dana Carvey doing it in season 50. So he was underrated, I think, in that cast because there were so many heavy hitters with Jan and Dana and Phil and Lovitz. But he definitely carried his load, you know, his share of the load in a much smaller cast in those days. I like this pick a lot.
That brings us to the last pick, and it's all up to you, Shari, to bring it home. What have you got for us?
Okay, I seem to be reaching back into the past, the mists of the past. This is somebody I didn't know that much about, but I've learned a lot more about. He was one of the pre-tape pioneers. And I'm speaking, of course, about Mr. Tom Schiller. He really, yeah. I think he's an unsung hero. He was doing things with camera angles and shadows and all kinds of interesting stuff way before there was a Lonely Island or a PDD. And I just think he's a real innovator and really deserves, again, I don't know if he's got a shot, but I'm glad I'm giving him a shot at least by nominating him, because I think he really, you can't talk about SNL and the history of the show without talking about Tom Schiller and his Schiller reels, because they were so iconic to the show.
Yeah, I mean, they really lent to that variety show vibe. Bill, what do you think of Tom Schiller?
Yeah, I love this pick. He's one of those pre-tape people who has actually stood the test of time. You know, you go back and watch an Albert Brooks or Gary Weiss, they don't really hold up. But Tom Schiller has like so many great moments, like Don't Look Back in Anger with the John Belushi in the cemetery. And then he did Love is a Dream, which has sadly come to represent Phil and Jan passing so early in life. And it's shown every time that they're brought up in memoriam in any way. So he did some very good filmmaking on the show in a time when it was not always great. So I think he definitely deserves consideration.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how people react. Joe?
Yeah, okay. When I was going back, when Bonnie and Terry Turner were picked, and I was going back looking at the list real fast, I saw his name, and I'm like, I'm not sure if people know who he is and such like that, so I went to Kevin Nealon. But another piece that, and I was so glad no one else brought it up because I wanted to bring it up, I was sitting here shaking, is Chris Farley's coffee, the hidden coffee bit, where they... Whenever that is one of those videos where forget that it's Saturday Night Live, it's just one of those things where you look at a smiley face and it makes you laugh, or you look at a kid's smile and it makes you laugh. Like that makes me laugh 10 out of 10. No matter, I could be at a funeral for everyone I've ever known, I could see that video and it will probably make me laugh just as much as it did when I was 10 years old. And yeah, so that. I mean, the fact that he gave us, because that to me is kind of like what Odenkirk did with Van Ness by the River. I feel like Schiller looked at Farley and said, oh, you know, have Farley snap out, you know, in this over the top way and just do it for 90 seconds. Like not over, not too hard, not too short. Just have him just go at it. Just put the camera on him. There's one edit. And that's another thing I know off the top of my head. They cut to a chef. So I think maybe they did like a couple takes. But for the most part, it is just one shot of Farley. And I just imagine Tom Schiller saying, looking at Chris Farley, this old school writer from the first 5 years, seeing this new kid and going, I know what I could do with this guy. And it's just the funniest thing. And I'm so glad, you know, because I wanted to bring up just how much I love that piece. And in fact, and here's another thing to bring up from that to Love is a Dream to Don't Look Back in Anger. I mean, that is range, you know, that is. So, I can't wait to do the episode about him, because there is a lot to talk about and not enough time to do it right now.
Absolutely, because that does bring us to the end of the season 7 draft. I will recap the draft for you now. We have several cast members being nominated. They are Dennis Miller, Chevy Chase, Tim Meadows, Jimmy Fallon, Cecily Strong, and Kevin Nealon. In the host category, we have Larry David, Josh Brolin, Zach Galifianakis, and Jack Black. In the musical guest category, we have Aerosmith, Eminem, and we have four writers, Bonnie and Terry Taylor. Bonnie and Terry Turner, Ann Beats, and Tom Schiller. So I'm really looking forward to this season, listening to some guests come on and stump for these nominees, and knowing full well that it's the last season, whether that will influence people to, you know, get off their votes. There's still several people that only vote for 3 or 4 or 5 people a cycle. And, you know, this is my plea to you. This is everyone's last chance. So let them on in. We'll go to a final word around the table. Joe, we'll start with you. Anything you're looking forward to in season 7?
I mean, I'm looking to get into all of these people. I mean, there's a, you know, because I got pros and cons for all of, you know, all of these people. And yeah, this is like a fun season because we got some that I feel like are, you know, should just be in, or I'm surprised haven't been in already, like Kevin Nealon and, you know, Jimmy Fallon. I know those are my picks, but Bonnie, well, I'm trying to think of who isn't my, but anyway, there's some people that I feel like should be in, and there's some people because we did with the last season, or the season that we're currently on right now, like Beck Bennett is a perfect example. I didn't think that, you know, he should be in, but as the season goes on, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. So I can't wait to do that with these names.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And as we record this, we don't know if Beck Bennett got in or not, even though you're listening to it and you'll know whether he did get in. We don't. Shari, final words from you, my friend.
This was just so, so, so much fun. I was very excited to get to do this. I already fangirled to Mr. Kinney off of the recording, off of the mic, but I just have to say what a huge honor it is to be with somebody of his knowledge. He's on every single stinking podcast, SNL podcast that I listen to, and I'm always excited to see him. It's been a thrill to be with him, and of course, to be with my usual water cooler buddies, Mr. JD and Mr. Joe. So this was just a super fun time. And I'm very excited to get back into the lunchroom and start yakking it up.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. Bill, final words from you for season 7.
I appreciate that, Shari. And it was a pleasure to be on with you and Joe and JD as well. Been enjoying your water cooler podcast a lot. So, I'm excited to get it. I'm excited to get into these names. I think it's easy to talk to about somebody like Cecily Strong. You can find a lot of people, but finding somebody who's got the knowledge about an Ann Beats or a Tom Schiller is going to be a lot of fun, and hearing the pleas made to get them into the Hall of Fame. And I'm with you, JD. Like, I'm not a small hall guy. Like, let's get as many names on this ballot as possible,
yeah.
Get them into the hall. So very excited to start diving in.
Excellent. And we're excited to have you on the team. So welcome aboard. And Joe and Shari, welcome back for season 2 of the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler. It's a thrill to be doing that with you every week. And of course, it's a thrill to be presenting this to the audience every week. So we want to thank you for showing up. And on behalf of Joe, Shari, and Bill, as you're walking out of the SNL Hall of Fame, would you do me a favor? And as you pass the Weekend Update exhibit, turn out the lights, because the SNL Hall of Fame is now closed. All right. A little bit of editing to do.
But... thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame podcast. Make sure to rate, review, share, and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social media at SNLHOF. This is Doug DeNance saying, see you next week.
Podcasts and such.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.